You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
To Theater Geeks Anonymous,
the podcast about Broadway flops, scandals, and new work.
Now, we'll take a break from our usual episodes to bring you this intermission-sode.
Oh, are you done with me? You're just shaking your head.
Oh, man. The last one we did, I believe, was about the Tony Award eligibility.
Okay.
And
oh, yeah, it's been a while.
It's been quite some time. And friends, there's no update on when the Tonys will actually happen. They just keep saying fall 2020. As I have read, okay. They're still in talks to find a broadcast partner.
Oh.
And so that's, I think, one of the things that's holding it up. You know, well, they said fall 2020.
Okay.
It's October. I don't know
Why do they need a partner?
Broadcast partner, you know, because they want to do it bigger than just online the way all the other awards have done.
They want it to be televised? Is that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
So they want it to be like on NBC or CBS or ABC or someplace.
Interesting.
Instead of just Sweet Pea. Hi. See? Hi, friend.
It's Ebony. Oh, that's for you. This kisses are for you, Ebony. Me too. She's my heart.
The only dog that knows where I am when I call her through the computer.
Oh, thank you. You're sweet.
Yeah, so we don't know exactly when the Tony Awards are going to be still.
That's so, I mean, I guess, I mean, like, everything is up in the air right now, but I would have imagined they would have had some of that already planned
right,
before they made the announcement.
That's right. I mean, all of it that they really said were, you know, they wanted it to be streamed,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's not been... Not more details have come through.
Yeah.
I will say I watched the Emmy Awards, which I loved how they did it. I thought it was done really well. It was done partially Zoom, partially in person, because you can only have like a certain number of people live.
Yeah.
So it was still done in a big theater, and it had, Jimmy was there like in person, Jimmy Kimmel. And then he would have like a few presenters come in person and present.
Okay.
And so that was really interesting. And then the way that they did the awards was, it was pretty funny actually. They had people dressed in like these plastic, they were supposed to look like a tuxedo, but it was like a hazmat suit basically. I mean, the headpiece, the whole deal, the gloves. And they would be holding the Emmy, and they would go to all of the nominees.
Yeah. Oh, to their houses?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Their houses. Yeah. They would come to their houses. But here's the crappy part, right? Like, if you lost, like, they'd be standing there with the Emmy waiting for your name to get called. So Rami Youssef, I love his show Rami on Hulu. If you all haven't watched it, it's absolutely great. And he writes it. He's wonderful. He was nominated for an Emmy. He won the Golden Globe earlier this year for the same role. And the man with the Emmy, like, comes, stands at his window, and then when he loses, like, they wave and walk away with, like, his Emmy, and it's just, and so he took video of it and put it on Twitter, and it's hilarious, but it's also just, like, tragic, you know?
So traumatic.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So I, here's the problem. The Broadway League doesn't have the money that the Emmy Awards have. So they're not going to be able to go to everybody's door. I'm curious to see how they'll sort of negotiate that situation. Yeah. I wonder if it'll be something similar to what they did on the Drama Desk Awards, where they asked people a different question that wasn't about winning and had them answer that. But I'll be honest with you, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
The way the Emmys did it, it was much better.
Yeah.
But, sounds, you know, better. Yeah, it was my, it was really, it was fun. It was, I liked watching it.
Interesting.
Okay,
or if
so.
They just, like, pre-record everything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it doesn't really have to be live. I would argue no.
So, you know, jumping ahead to the Olivier Awards, it is going to be mostly pre-recorded.
Okay.
So the Olivier Awards are going to be on October 25th. The main show will be broadcast on ITV, with additional awards being shown in a pre-show broadcast the same evening on the official London Theatre's YouTube channel.
Okay.
Listeners will also be able to tune in to a show highlighting the winners and key moments on Magic Radio from 8 until 10 on Monday, October 26th, with extended coverage across the week on digital radio station Magic at the Musicals. This is all in England, although I'm happy that, you know, we'll be able to see some of this on the official London Theatre's YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a lot of this information from Playbill.com, the New York Times, Stage UK, Variety, Deadline. I mean, these are where I'm getting a lot of this information. Mm. So that those are the Olivier Awards on October 25th. I'm excited to actually, like, sort of be able to watch a little bit of it, as opposed to other years where you just can't. You just, like, see on Twitter and social media, like, who wins.
Yeah.
And I know that James McAvoy is up for an award because of Cyrano de Bergerac, which was supposed to come to BAM. And I was, like, really, my friend Christy and I were really excited because we were going to go see, it's been an NT Live for a while. So at first we were just going to go to the movie theater and watch an NT Live of it. And then it got announced, I think, like, a week before. It was 3 weeks before we were going to go to the movie theater to watch it. It got announced that it was coming to BAM. So we were like, scratch that. We'll go to BAM.
Yeah.
But of course the shutdown happened well before he was able to come, because he was supposed to come in May.
Okay.
To Brooklyn. So.
Darn.
Yeah. Stinks.
Maybe next year.
Maybe. I hope so. I mean, it got really great reviews. As I've said, he's, you know, nominated for an Olivier Award. It seems really sort of fresh and interesting. You know, and I like him a lot. Like, I'm a fan of his acting.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Back to this side of the world, Arts Hero, Be an Arts Hero. They're launching a campaign to get kids and teens involved with civic engagement. And so they've partnered with Theater for Young Audiences, the American Alliance for Theater and Education, International Performing Arts for Youth, Association of Teaching Artists, iTheatrics, and New Victory to write letters to urge the U.S. Congress to pass the DAWN Act. DAWN stands for Defend Arts Workers Now.
Okay.
To help youth get started, hashtag arts are my superpower. So cute.
Love.
Uh-huh. Offers free templates and other creative activities to express their love of the arts and demonstrate its contribution to society.
Awesome.
The DAWN Act.
Because that is so important to remember, that it is not just something pretty that people look at and listen to. It does things. It activates people. It makes them think. Mm-hmm. It moves movements forward.
That's right.
Sorry, I got heated.
But you're right.
I am right.
You're absolutely right. And the DAWN Act is the most comprehensive of all of the bills that are coming to Congress to help the arts community, because it's not just about theater. It's also about music. It's also about museums. Like, they're trying to get funding for all of the arts community, where you have bills like Save Our Stages, which is, yeah, which is more about like the music industry.
Okay.
And so other bills are just sort of more,
this is such a scary time.
Oh, totally.
But it's like two sides of the same coin, though, if you really mm-hmm. consider that in the best of times, when we are thriving in society as a country, they try to strip away the arts. Like, when we are doing the very best we can, they try to strip away the arts. And so if you look at it now, we are not in a position where we are thriving as a country, as a society. So of course, right, the first thing they're going to try to do is take away the arts, the umbrella of arts. Right. So that is inclusive of museums, movies, stages, music, theater, everything. Okay. But then the flip side of that, oh shoot, I lost it.
Oh no.
It went right out of my head. Wait, let me think.
Okay.
What was I going to say? Oh, wait. Oh, but the flip side of that uh-huh. is the fact that now we as artists are in a position that we've never been in before, where we have time mm-hmm. and freedom to explore all that we have to create. And like, yes, there has never been a renaissance of creativity like there has been just recently after the right. COVID, you know, shelter in place happened. So it is wonderful, but at the same time, it's really scary because all right. of it could go away while, you know, we're finally coming into like this really amazing creative world.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
There's, I don't know if talk, you know, musings about, you know, people saying that they would like some sort of, you know, national theater, some sort of federally funded
theater. Well, they have theater in the UK.
They do. Okay, but America tried to do this.
Really? Oh, yes. Wait. I think I did.
Did you ever see the movie Cradle Will Rock?
Yes.
Yes. So I see people saying that, and it didn't go well.
Yeah.
That's why we don't have it anymore.
I think what they see, at least in my eyes, mm-hmm. you know, you look across the pond and you see that in their darkest times, the government still supports something like the arts in this way that they have it set up. And I think that's all Americans really want. Mm-hmm. That's all mm-hmm. we've ever wanted as artists, right. as American artists. All we've ever wanted is validation and support from the higher ups, the people that choose whether or not we succeed.
Right.
So in this time where we have no chance to succeed because mm-hmm. of COVID-19, because of a source that is outside of us that we cannot combat yet because there's no vaccination for it. Like right. we have no control over this. Mm-hmm. It's not because people stopped coming to concerts and stopped going to museums and didn't want to sit in theaters together. It is because we are unable to. Mm-hmm. And we see now that our government, who has always been waiting to take away those things from us in the first place and take away any support that we have gained up to this point, is now manipulating the situation to do further harm.
Right.
At a time when I would argue, I think all of us would argue, the arts are the most important thing.
Right. They're the thing. I mean, you know, I've said this so many times, but you try to get through this pandemic without movies, without television,
yeah.
without your streaming services, without mm-hmm. Books, without like the
just try it.
Yeah,
do
anything.
It for one
have
day.
No, have absolutely no arts, mm-hmm. no music, nothing. Just
Nothing's
sit
pretty
there.
Good. My blankets will all be one like army yes. green.
Just sit in your room.
Yeah,
staring at the wall.
Yeah,
and see how far you get.
Mm-hmm.
So
and don't hum to yourself because that's the arts.
That's also music. So shh, you just get to sit in the quiet staring at a blank wall.
Yeah.
see how well you do. And then you go tell me the arts are not essential.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next thing I'm going to talk about is Apple TV has announced the cast for a new musical television series starring Saturday Night Live's Cecily Strong. The new comedy is produced by Lorne Michaels. Lorne Michaels, we know, SNL.
Yep.
And created by Cinco Paul and Ken Dario. It follows a couple on a backpacking trip designed to reinvigorate their relationship when they discover a magical town in which everyone acts as if they're in a musical from the 1940s.
I would love that. That's yeah. my dream. That's yeah. like before I knew Broadway existed, mm-hmm. that is what I knew. I knew musicals from the 1940s and 50s. Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah. I always wanted backup dancers. Still do. It's not just a kid thing. I'm a grown woman and I still would love backup dancers when songs pop into my head. Okay, so Strong will play Melissa alongside Keenan Michael Key as her partner Josh.
Oh.
Alan Cumming as Mayor Menlove. Fred Armisen as Reverend Layton.
Mayor Menlove.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mayor Menlove. Fred Armisen as Reverend Layton. Kristen Chenoweth as Mildred Layton. Aaron Teviot as Danny. Dove Cameron. She played Cher in Clueless off Broadway.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Dove Cameron as Betsy. Ariana DeBose as Emma. Jamie Campbell as Doc Lopez. Jane Krakowski as the Countess. And Harada as Florence Menlove.
Oh, I love this. I love yes. this entire thing, everything about it. I'm so excited about this right now. And it's Apple TV. I've totally got Apple TV.
Paul will write all the show's original music with Barry Sonnenfeld directing, and it is set to debut next year. I wow. do think this is the show that my friend was working on, but I can never remember the title. I should have texted her before this episode.
Well, I'll put do a little quick Google search while you talk about the next bit of item.
Okay, so the next big thing, Netflix. So Netflix has released the first look at Chadwick Boseman and Viola Davis and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. So this is going to be Chadwick Boseman's final performance. Viola Davis stars as the real-life mother of the blues, Gertrude Rainey, alongside Chadwick Boseman in his final role as the enterprising trumpet player, Levy. The film is based on the 1984 work by August Wilson, the award-winning playwright behind Fences, The Piano Lesson. It is set in 1927, and the story starts with Rainey as she arrives late to a recording session and greets a controlling white manager and an impatient band who's being fueled by Levy's ambitions to unseat Rainey from her blues throne. What follows is a misogynistic and creative battle as Rainey fights for full control of her sonic legacy as the men around the blues queen see her actions as symptoms of her blackness and womanhood instead of being associated with her talent. Right?
That's the sound that I make every time anything misogynistic happens. Like, it's yeah. so, ugh. It's just such, like, if you, it just plays to the male ego to me that yes. we have to come up with an excuse. It's not because she feels the same as you would in that position if you were put there.
Right.
Like, if someone were trying to steal your legacy and your music and the money that you would make from it, you would probably be really upset and maybe say some things and fight about it. But because she's a woman, she's being hysterical. And right. it's her fault because she's black and a woman and she doesn't think about these things rationally like we men do.
Right.
Bah!
I know.
I hate.
I would argue men PMS much worse than we do.
They do. Oh, if I'm going to just slip in here because mm-hmm. I just read this article in the Hollywood Reporter about that musical.
Yeah.
Still an untitled show, but it was formally known as Schmigadoon.
Yes, this is the show that my friend was working on because I could never remember the title. Yes, Schmigadoon.
Brigadoon, yes. Schmigadoon. Now you'll remember it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she said that to me and I still don't remember.
Love it. But it is untitled at this point.
Okay, so that must have been the working title.
Because I think normal people wouldn't know what that reference.
No.
Who's going to watch it that's normal, though? It's all going to be theater people.
Well, of course. Of course it will.
It's going to be amazing. I can't wait for that.
I know. I don't have Apple TV, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until the whole season is put on, and then I'll have, like, a 1 monther to binge it, and then
okay.
That's probably what I'm going to do. Yeah. Probably what I'll do. Okay, so back to Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Tony Award-winning director George C. Wolfe helms the screen adaptation for the streaming service Netflix, who has released first look images. So you can go online and you can see these with Davis and Bozeman in their respective roles. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom also stars Taylor Page, who plays Rainey's girlfriend, Dussie May, alongside stage and film vets Coleman Domingo and Glenn Turman. The film is produced, like I said, by Denzel. Mm-hmm. Washington, I don't know how many people know this, but originally his idea was to do an August Wilson cycle of all of August plays, and he was going to bring them all to film, and it was all meant to be on HBO.
Oh, okay.
So originally it was meant to be this deal with HBO, but it's, as we all know, it sort of hasn't really been like right, because Fences was on TV.
I didn't watch it, but I do recall that.
Right. So I think it might have been on a streaming service. I'm not sure. I saw it on a screener. So that's how I saw it. So that's why I'm not totally sure. And then, of course, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom is going to be on Netflix. Then the next one he's working on is The Piano Lesson. And that's going to be led by Samuel L. Jackson and Denzel's son, John David Washington. John David Washington will play Boy Willie, which is the lead role. And according to the Times, Washington is hoping for Barry Jenkins, the director of Moonlight, to direct The Piano Lesson.
Oh, wow.
This play is set in the 1930s, and The Piano Lesson is the story of two siblings and their struggle to come to terms with their inheritance and the ghosts of their past. It was previously adapted for the screen in 1995 with a cast led by Charles S. Dutton.
Wow.
So this is really exciting to see, you know, the first looks for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom to come out and then the announcement about The Piano Lesson.
Yeah.
So... really, really cool. And then I don't know how many of you also know, like, the whole Chadwick Boseman, Denzel Washington.
The Viola Davis.
Well, no, there's this very sweet storyline about how Denzel Washington
is
responsible for Chadwick Boseman's career in a way. So when Chadwick Boseman was in college at Howard University, there was an opportunity to go study acting abroad. And so there was this contingent of African-American actors that would, like, basically anonymously pool their money together to send young people who couldn't afford to pay out to go do these semesters abroad. And so Chadwick was one of those students. He grew up in South Carolina. He did not come from money, but he was very, very talented, and everyone could see, just very passionate, because he actually went to Howard for directing. He didn't actually go, acting was not his major, but he was one of these students that they really saw a lot in. So he was able to go on this semester abroad and study, and then a few years later it's brought to his attention that, so I could be wrong, but as I believe it, they wouldn't just pool their money together. They would, like, anonymously sponsor a student, right? So a few years later, Chadwick finds out it was Denzel Washington that sponsored him to go to this semester abroad. And so I was watching an episode of the Graham Norton show. And
that's the clip I saw.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. So Chadwick talks about that. And he mentions, Graham Norton says, well, you know, now you can pay him back, right? Because this was after Black Panther. And he said, well, you know, I'm doing a movie for him. So like, you know, I give him a discount. and that was before Ma Rainey's Black Bottom could be announced. So this was the movie that Chadwick was talking about.
This is, and I'm going to take another sidebar.
Yeah.
As you think, well, I'm just sponsoring one person. You think it's such a small thing. Like, I've got this extra money. I can invest in someone, you know, that way. It's such a small thing. But if you really look at it, that by Denzel Washington putting forth the money for Chadwick Boseman to go and do that thing with theater, Chadwick was then inspired to then follow through on the acting portion, which then put him in line to do the Black Panther, which was such an incredible movement for all people of color, because it was something that they had never been able to really see represented for them on the big screen.
Yeah.
And so just that little thing it turned into such a huge thing. And I love that. I love, you know, cause it's so easy to be like, my vote doesn't count.
Right.
Or, you know, my giving to that one homeless person doesn't really matter. My saying a kind word to that person over it. I like her dress, but me telling her that isn't going to matter. Mm-hmm. Well, it does though.
Yeah.
It matters it doesn't matter to you as much as it matters to the person on the receiving end.
Right.
And you never know what the person on the receiving end is going to do with that gift.
Right. And also even before Black Panther, you know, it also gave Chadwick this strong sense that he was going to be very deliberate about the roles that he chose to play. So even if that meant, you know, he wasn't going to work for a while, he understood the importance of every role that he chose to play and how that put forth the Black narrative and how that would inspire the next generation, right?
Wow.
So Denzel's been doing this always, right? Yeah. Like, he's been mentoring the Boys and Girls Club. He came from that, right? Like, he was in the Boys and Girls Club. He didn't do well in school, but people encouraged him. Mm-hmm. And so then, because somebody poured into his life, somebody who we don't know, who isn't famous, he was like, oh, I'm going to pay this forward. And so because he paid it forward, we got Chadwick Boseman, who just exploded and broke open our sensibility about what it means to be Black in a culture that so often wants to diminish our worth and beauty, importance, strength, and power. And so the legacy that he's left us with will live on, you know, past, sadly, his stay here on Earth. But it's just like, vote. and really think about like how your vote is going to
what the long-term effects of it are going to be, because it's not just about the next 4 years.
No, it's not just about the next 4 years, and you know, paying things forward, no matter how small it feels, it can change the vision of a race of people. The Wakanda forever sign that we do to each other, it will go past, you know, just that one film. It is now a part of the African American vernacular. It is a sign of our royalty, and it is
it's given you a culture that had been stolen from you in the first place.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's also given you permission to exist.
Yeah.
It's given you permission to matter. regardless of the color of your skin, which is the most frustrating because it's not something that you can change.
Right. And I mean, we mattered, but people don't want us to.
Yeah.
So
I shouldn't have said given you permission, because that makes it seem like we're all saying, okay, you can exist now.
Right.
It opens up the door for you to think of yourself in a different way.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and also it's a funny thing. I've heard a lot of people of color say, you watch these futurist movies, and so often, like, there are no people of color.
Yes.
In these movies. And so Wakanda
what do they do to us?
Right. Right. Yeah. Totally. So Black Panther's a form of Afrofuturism, right? Where we took that narrative, and it's like, not only are we in the future, but we are killing it.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that I love the most about it is that it's not just the future, it's also the past, because this is a culture of Black people, of people of color, who have not been touched by the white people. Right. So they have been able to create for themselves and to be a society unto themselves, untouched by all of the colonialism that happened to all of the other, you know, Black cultures and colorful races out there, you know, up to this point. And so you see that this is a society of people that have started and been in it and will continue to thrive because they have been untouched, because they have just been allowed to be.
To be, yeah.
I think that's the part I love about it.
Instead of being colonized by white people.
Yeah.
All right, so that's our mini-sode, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Theater Geeks Anonymous. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at
TGABWay and on Facebook at Theater Geeks Anonymous.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the Theater Geeks Anonymous podcast
on the Broadway Podcast Network and all your favorite podcast listening apps.
Your intermission sode has now concluded.
Shut up, sit down, and turn off your cell phones. Or we'll tell Patti LuPone.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.